Trans people are not looking for special treatment. We want equality. As cliche as it sounds, this uniform represents that freedom and that idea and that principle, which is outlined in the Constitution.
The military is one of those places in life where no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, you're going to meet and work with some people who are completely different than you. Can the U.S. military make space for its transgender service members? One Michigan National Guard specialist says it absolutely has to. You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. On July 26th, 2017, President Donald Trump announced a major shift in military policy via his Twitter account.
From President Trump today, an abrupt announcement. He is reinstating a ban on transgender troops.
This morning, tweeting that he will not allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military.
The policy President Trump is reversing was just announced last year by President Obama's administration, and now the future of those currently serving our country is in question.
This announcement prompted a flurry of court cases and injunctions from lower courts. But in 2019, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the Trump administration could move forward with implementation. Now, 2 years later, there's a new commander-in-chief.
And what I'm doing is enabling all qualified Americans to serve their country in uniform and essentially restoring the situation that existed before with transgender personnel, if qualified in every other way, can serve their government in the United States military.
Last week, President Joe Biden signed an executive order allowing transgender people to serve in all branches of the military. That was very welcome news to Blair McIntyre.
When I read the news, I was so overwhelmed. I started bawling. I felt like for the first time in a long time that I was actually seen.
She's a Michigan Army National Guard specialist who fought against the ban in federal court. Blair previously served in active duty combat in Afghanistan, and she's a trans woman. Despite her years of service, she was threatened with discharge under the Trump administration's ban. Today, we're going to hear from Blair about what this reversal of the policy means to her and other trans service members. And she's going to explain why, although she's really happy about this, there's still a lot of work to do when it comes to equity for LGBTQ service members. Blair McIntyre, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a long road. Can you tell us a little bit about your path into the military and what drew you to service?
Sure. I always kind of had tendencies of dysphoria. I just didn't really understand fully at the time what it was. And I felt that going into the military would help me find my place in the world and help me find an identity. And I joined and I did active duty. I got out and I missed it and I came back into the Michigan National Guard. Being in uniform, again, gave me that sense of identity. And then, of course, in 2019, it was almost like an alarm clock went off that I needed to transition. I needed to accept who I was inside, and I came out as a trans woman.
When you first entered the military, was there a part of you that maybe in some way felt or just intuited that there would be this piece of yourself, a big piece that you'd have to keep hidden?
You know, and it's funny, looking back in hindsight, it's definite now, but at the time it wasn't. It wasn't always a definite thing. You know, when I was a kid and when I was in high school, I knew who I was inside. But, you know, as I became an adult and got married and, you know, started my life as an adult, it's not that the feelings went away. I just was distracted by other things. So joining, I was at the time really focused on my new role, my new duty. You know, I had a new career and I was very excited at the time.
Blair, you actually challenged the federal ban on transgender service members that was implemented under President Trump. Can you tell us what's going to happen to that lawsuit now that President Biden has reversed the ban?
So the lawsuit's now dropped in the process of, and, you know, it feels good to not have that added stress over my head. Again, it's very rewarding to see that we're, you know, once again, we are looked at and we're seen and we're visible. And it's very meaningful to us to be recognized as people. So at any time you ban a group of people or you keep a group of people out, you know, in a sense, it feels like it dehumanizes you. And like I said, from all my friends that are transgender in service, it seems like it's pretty across the board. We're all feeling that there's a light on us again, that we're noticed.
So Blair, the reversal of the ban, does that mean that you're able to fully identify as a woman when you're on the job?
Currently, as everything stands, no. I still am forced to go to work presenting male. There has been no guidance yet put down from the new policy as to what that entails. So this entire fight, I've been forced to go into work presenting as a male, even though I'm legally a woman, I'm medically a woman, I still have to go into work presenting male.
Does that detract at all from a feeling of relief and a feeling of victory in seeing the policy formally overturned?
It does. And at the same time, it also, you know, we sit here from, you know, at this point and we're going, I hope that it becomes easier. You know, it's the Army's famous slogan is hurry up and wait, but there's thousands of trans people that are in that have waited long enough. And I really hope that the new policy, whatever the details are for that, that it allows trans people to have an easier transition from, you know, their birth gender to their gender that they identify with.
Do we know for sure that those policies are on the way now that Joe Biden has sort of said, yes, it's going to be okay for trans people to serve?
I mean, we do know that, you know, something has to be done. You know, I don't know the details on who is doing what for the policy, but just knowing that it has to happen. So I hope that they make a new policy, because the one in 2016, when the ban was not a thing yet, it still was difficult for trans people to change their gender marker. It was very difficult for them across all branches. So I'm optimistic, and I hope that in the future that this new policy makes it easier for us.
Do you mind telling us a little bit more about what you do?
Sure. I work at Camp Grayling, and I work range control there. I'm also a weapon specialist in small arms. I've done that since active duty until today. It's pretty rewarding. It's fun. Definitely not the same day every day.
I think in the Michigan Guard that men and women do train together, isn't that right?
Correct.
Are there other intersections or places on the job where the presentation, you know, what you're forced into in terms of presentation gets awkward?
It does. And, you know, when I go to places where people don't know me, they don't see a male. Everyone addresses me as she and her. So it's for the people that I work with that decided not to address me as such, it kind of makes it awkward when they still say he, him. And now it forces me to explain what's going on, you know, and talk about, you know, what, why they're calling me a he versus a she. So that's like the points where it becomes awkward. You know, I'm legally a woman. I present female every day, every time I'm not in uniform. So I sit there and worry sometimes for little things that people wouldn't think about, like my driver's license. You know, what if I get pulled over in uniform? My driver's license shows a completely different person.
We've got to take a quick break here. When we come back, Blair talks about coming out at work and how she found a community of other trans service members. We'll be back in a minute.
Thank you. Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Coming out to family and friends is difficult enough under the best of circumstances. For some people, it is liberating. But what was it like to come out in the workplace?
It was scary. You know, the military has always had that masculine undertone, and I was definitely afraid. But when I came out, you know, of course, there were moments where it was difficult, but for the most part, most people were very accepting. More importantly, the people I worked with directly, they were very supporting of me. And, you know, they've all been rooting me along and cheering me along. And, you know, just like when we were talking earlier, when the ban was lifted, a lot of those calls were from people I worked with. They're very supportive. So in reality, I had a reality check that it's not always bad. And I'm actually very happy with the majority of my support that I've got.
When you were having difficult times, either, you know, grappling with what the ban was saying about trans people in service, or just, you know, just having a hard time with things you were dealing with personally, what were the things that got you through the tough days?
Honestly, it's that, you know, looking at so many people that have been fighting before me, even, you know, there's been so many trans people and cis people that have been fighting for us since the ban happens. And, you know, when times got hard for me, I thought, you know, there's people that have had hard times for 20 years on this, if not more. And so I looked for inspiration back in history and, you know, seeing the examples that I had, and it kept me going. It kept me positive.
You know, you mentioned that you do have some community within military service members who are also trans. What were some of the ways that you found your community?
Sure. The biggest one, of course, is social media. You know, there's a misconception that there's not a lot of us in service, but there is a lot of us. There's a lot of different figures. I've heard as high of 14,000. And we all found, you know, a place online, different various sites like Instagram, Facebook, et cetera. And that's where we networked and, you know, we all met each other. And that's where I met majority of my friends. And I actually have met a couple in the Michigan Guard that have come up to me and humbly have thanked me for what I'm doing. And that really, really brought a tear to my eye.
Were there ways in which you think the experience of, I don't know about going into service, but the experience of going overseas and serving in combat, were there ways in which you think that affected or accelerated your decision to come out?
No, I don't. I think, you know, whenever a soldier comes back from a deployment, you're faced with challenges, you know, family, your everyday life, you know, it's hard. It's hard on everyone that does that and goes through that. But I don't think that, especially at that time, I was honestly just happy to be home, as most of us were. So I would say it did give me a bit of a backbone to definitely overcome fear easier. And that really helped a lot. I would say, if anything, it helped me rather than discouraged me.
Mm-hmm. Because of the community and the support that you had?
Right. And, you know, the hard life lessons, you know, that especially in deployment, we take for granted, you know, living our lives and, you know, how precious it is. And when you're in an environment like that, you really learn to live life to the fullest every day. And, you know, when the time came, as I said earlier, the alarm went off that I needed to transition, that hard lesson came back that I need to live every day authentically and as myself.
For sure. I wonder how some of the cisgendered folks that you serve with have reacted to the news that President Biden has overturned the ban.
Yeah, a lot. You know, again, I think there's a big misconception that, you know, cisgendered people are against transgender people. And that's not what I've been seeing. I've actually been congratulated quite a bit. Again, my phone was blowing up and those were not all trans people. Actually, most of them were cisgendered people. They were excited. You know, from especially leadership, they've been really excited because now they're able to have a bigger candidacy pool. You know, trans people, just like all people, are talented, unique, can bring something to the table. And so I really have seen a lot of support for us.
You know, the military is not always an easy place to be a pioneer, but it's also one of those places in American society where white cisgender guys have learned normalcy about working alongside women, working alongside people of color, working alongside queer people. I mean, it's a place where anybody who goes into service is going to get thrown in with tons of other people whose life experience is just different than theirs. To that point about recruiting, I mean, if a younger person came to you and asked, you know, what should I keep in mind if I'm thinking about joining, can you envision a chapter for the American military that is truly normalized for trans people and non-binary people?
Sure. I really see, you know, again, with this ban being lifted, I see that that's the direction it's going to be going. You know, there's new policies coming out very soon. I just read recently that, you know, men are now able to wear clear nail polish in service. And there's different things that are starting to come in that are more welcoming to the queer community. And I really do see that down the road, it's going to just be, like you said, normal. And it's already getting there. It really is. And it's important. It's why I preach education so much, you know. Unfortunately, it is a burden of ours that sometimes we have to do more than others, but it's, you know, I always take the opportunity if someone asks me questions to have that conversation with them, because that's what's going to bring normalcy to our community and the military community to have, you know, a nice equality between the two.
It is not easy to get policy changes like the one that we've just seen. Witness your lawsuit. Do you think it will be harder to change, you know, people's habits, people's ways of thinking on an everyday level, all the little ephemeral things that still have an effect on how you move through your days?
I think that the difficulty is that we're not able to go to work in our genders, and presenting as who we are. I think that's what makes it difficult. But I do see that if policy changes, it becomes easy. And, you know, I can go to work as presenting female, as the woman that I am. And for, you know, men also, I think that would help alleviate a lot of that problem. I think by forcing us to go in, like in my case, forcing me to adhere to male standards going into work, I think that's where a lot of that misgendering can and sometimes does happen. So I hope that the new policy addresses this and takes in consideration, you know, transgender people, that this is something that is important to us.
Well, Blair McIntyre, thank you for your service and thank you for talking to us.
Thank you so much. Honor's mine.
And that's the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. If you like what you're hearing, you should subscribe. You can find us wherever you're listening right now. Want to hear more from Stateside? You can also check out our daily show on Michigan Radio. We're on weekdays at 3 Eastern and 9 p.m. or you can stream the show online at michiganradio.org. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Today's episode was produced by April Van Buren. Our theme music is by 14KT with additional music by Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.